Good morning. Thank you all very much for coming. Today's the last daf of the first perek of Masechet Yoma. As in many prakim and shas, as we get to the end of a perek, the Gemara sort of lightens up more agadatza material. So we were on Chaf Amid Beis talking about something called Gal Gal Chama, the sphere on which the sun is lodged, and as the sun rotates through the horizon, that's really because there's this sphere, I guess, of energy that's moving the sun through. So, about 5 lines from the bottom of Chaf Amud Beis, Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa. Says the Gemara that there are two rulers. On the one hand, there's Rome, and on the other hand, there's the sun. Ilmale gal gal chama, if not for the noise that this sphere of the sun is making, and that God has given authority to the sun, then nishmakol hamona shel romi, we would have been hearing the sound of the masses of Rome. In other words, Rome would have had more power. Ilmale kol hamona shel romi, but if not for the fact that God has given power to Rome, and that we do hear a lot of from Rome, Nishma kol gagal chama. If we would not have the fact that Rome was given authority, we would have heard more of the power of the sun. There are three voices that go from one end of the world to the other. These are very famous things that go on and on. V'ilein kol gal gal chama, the sound of the sphere of the sun going through the horizon. Kol amona shel romi, and the sound of the masses of Rome, because Rome ruled over everybody. V'kol neshama b'shash yotz min haguf. And the other thing that you hear throughout the world is the sound of a soul when it's leaving a body. Others say it's also birth. That birth is something which is going on throughout the world and it's never stopping. And some say Afridia, even the angel Ridia, which Rashi says is Malach Hamemunal Hashakos Haaretz Mimtara Shamai Mimal Minato Mitachas. This is the angel in charge of watering the earth with rain from above and springs from below. The Korei Lahem, this angel calls to them, as it says, Tahom El Tahom Korei, the depth calls to the depth. And it's called Ridia, as in like plowing, that it pulls up this noise. Uvo Rabbanan Rachmi HaNeshama B'Shash Yotz Min HaGuf, the rabbis davened that when the soul leaves the body, it shouldn't create so much noise. Ubitlua, and they stopped it. So it's not constantly. The way the Maharsha explains this Gemara is that the rabbis, through their prayers, sometimes can stop death. As we found that there were people who were very sick, and tzaddikim davened for them, and then they recovered, and they didn't die. So it wasn't something that all over the world you hear death, because Baruch Hashem, a tzaddik goes there, and Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekayim, the tzaddikim have decreed to stop death. Sometimes. Tanya Kavasad Reb Shila. We learned in a Braisa, like Reb Shila, that Kiros HaGever means when the rooster is crowing. Because we learned in a Braisa, Yotze L'derech Kodem Kriyas HaGever, if somebody goes out to a trip before the rooster crowed, before there is light, you went out to the trip, it's dark, and there are damaging angels around, there are mazikim. So Dama Barosha, whatever misfortune happens to him, it's his own fault. Because he should have known not to go out and travel when there are a lot of mazikim around, when there are a lot of damaging angels running around. Rabbi Yoshia said that this is only true if he goes on the trip before the rooster crowed twice, Ad Sheyishne. The Yesh Omer, and some say, Ad Sheyishalish, until the rooster crowed three times. And once he crowed three times, then it's okay to go. Ubeze Tarnagol Amru, what type of rooster are we referring to? Tarnagol Benoni, we're talking about a normal rooster, not somebody that's, not one that's very early, or one that's very late. But again, bottom line is that since we say Tarnagol Beinoni, that's obviously not talking about a human being. That's a proof to Reb Shila that Kos HaGeber is the calling out of the rooster. Amar Rav, Rav Yudas, the name of Rav, the Shal Yisrael Ol Regel. When the Jews go up to Yerushalayim for the holidays, and they all go into the Ezra's Nashim and the Ezra's Yisrael, Omdim Tzfufin, they would stand and they would be very packed in. They would stand, pressed up against each other. But then when they would bow down, such as when they would hear the Kohen Gadol say Hashem's name, they would bow down. Revachim, then there was a lot of space. Now when they would bow down, they would spread out Achas Esrei Amachori Beis HaKiboros into the 12 Amos behind the Kodesh HaKodashim. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If they're getting miraculous space, why are they suddenly spreading out? My Kamar, how do you resolve this? And so the Gemara, Achikam, this is what it means. Afli Shinim Shachim Achas Esrei Amos Achori Beis HaKiboros. For Omdim Tzfufim, when they would stand, there'd be so many of them that there would even be some in the 11 Amos behind the Kodesh HaKodashim, between the Kodesh HaKodashim and the Kosel Ma'aravi. So even though there were so many that they had to spill over into that area, and there were so many that they were standing tzfufim, up against each other, nevertheless, k'shem mishtachim, they would bow down, mishtachim revachim, they would bow down, there'd be lots of space. This is one of the 10 miracles that would occur in the Beis HaMikdash. Titznan, as we learned in a Mishnah. Asara Nisim Nasu Beis HaMikdash. There were 10 miracles that would occur constantly in the Beis HaMikdash. Number one, Loipila Ush Isha Meireach Basara Kodesh. A woman would never have a miscarriage because of the pungent smell of the karbanos that were being burned on the Mizbeach. So you have all this meat being roasted. It's a very strong smell. There are plenty of pregnant women, either in Beit HaMikdash or on Har HaBayit or in Yerushalayim. And nevertheless, no woman would ever have a miscarriage because of that strong smell. Another miracle, miracle number two. V'lo hisriach basar HaKodesh me'olam. The meat of a karban never spoiled. It never had a bad smell. Sometimes you'd have to wait with karbanos because there were too many karbanos. So waiting for this meat to look again on top of the mizbeach. But it never would have a bad smell. Never would go bad. Third miracle. V'lo nirizvub b'beis hamitbachayim. You know, there was the area near the mizbeach with lots of hooks and then there were tables and pillars. They would take the animals there, restrain them with the hook, slaughter them, then skin them on the tables, wash out the insides, then put them up on the hook, on the pillars with the hook, on the pillars, and cut them up into pieces. They have a lot of raw meat, you have a lot of raw blood, and there was never a fly there. A fly would never come. This was a miracle. Fourth, Lo ira keri l'kohen gadol b'yom ha-kippurim. And we have all these things that we did to try to prevent the Kohen Gadol from having the discharge of seed on Yom Kippur. We'd keep him awake. It wouldn't give him so much to eat before Yom Kippur. It wouldn't give him foods that could increase seed. But it was another miracle that even though he was working so hard, and it never happened. He never had a discharge of carry of seed coming out on Yom Kippur. Another miracle, V'lo nimtza psul ba'omer v'shtei alechem. We know that the Minchas HaOmer, we're currently in the period of Sviras HaOmer, the Minchas HaOmer has to be cut the night before, and the next day, this barley, this tenth of an ephah of barley, of the new barley grain, is offered as a mincha in the Beis HaMikdash. And this is another miracle, that nothing ever disqualified the Minchas HaOmer. There was never a dead rodent that fell into it or anything like that, because if there would have been a disqualification, they wouldn't have been able to bring the Omer, because it would be too late, because they had already can't cut anymore. The same was true of Shtei Alechem. The Shtei Alechem also never was disqualified. That was a miracle. That's what's brought on Shavuos. And again, with the Shtei Alechem, also you can't make it up because you have to bake it from before Yom Tov, and you can't bake it on Yom Tov. Ubalechem apanim. The third thing that always had a miracle that never became disqualified with Tuma was the Lechem apanim. They would divide it up to eat it on Shabbos, and it never happened that a rodent fell on a piece of Lechem apanim to make it impossible to eat it. Because again, the reason why they needed that miracle is because you can't bake it on Shabbos, you can only bake it before Shabbos. Another miracle, Omdim Tzfufim, they would stand, you know, very tightly packed next to each other. Meshtachim, then when they would bow down in the Beit HaMikdash Revachim, there was a lot of space. Yeah, please.
So the Lechem apanim, when they did it every Friday,
they would
Shabbat
bake.
Shabbat.
Right, they would divide it.
In the middle of the week, we have a Chag. They would do...
They didn't divide the Lechem apanim, it left it there. Yeah.
So,
please, a question.
So no flies in Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah, no spoiling.
No rodent, falling down, nothing, no, you know, insects in Beit HaMikdash.
Right.
So it was no dead rodent falling on the shortbread or
right?
That's
right. Baruch Hashem.
No,
miracles.
Yeah.
Lo hizik nachash va'akrav b'Yerushalayim me'olam. Another miracle is that a snake and a scorpion never caused damage in Jerusalem. Commentators say even though it would bite, but it wouldn't cause any damage. And it, finally, the tenth, lo amar adam l'chaveiro tzar li hamakom shalim b'Yerushalayim. Nobody ever claimed that his residence in Yerushalayim was too tight and that it wasn't comfortable. Whenever everyone would come up for Aliyah L'Regel, the people of Yerushalayim would very generously welcome everybody, give plenty of food. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would help everybody out. So Gemara asked, one second, Pasach B'Mikdash, the Mishnah began by talking about miracles of the temple, the Siyum B'Yerushalayim, and ends off with two miracles about Yerushalayim. That the snakes and the scorpions couldn't damage in Yerushalayim, and that there was always, everyone was always happy with their arrangements, with their lodgings in Yerushalayim during the holiday. So my answer is Ikatarti Achri Naisi B'Mikdash. There are another two that happened in the temple. The Tanya we learned in Ebraisa, Me'olam lo kavu gishamim eshal atziam ha'aracha. The rain never put out the fire that was burning on the altar. Because if the fire would be out, you couldn't burn the pieces of the karban. So Hashem never put out the fire with rain. And another miracle, Va'ashana Ma'aracha, and the smoke coming out of the pillar of fire, the smoke coming out of the pyre, coming out of the bonfire on the altar, Afilu Kol Ruchosha Ba'olam Bo'osu Menashvo Spo, even if all the winds of the world would come and blow against it, in Mazizos, Oso Mimkomo, they couldn't move it from its place. That's another miracle. Ask the Gemara Vesu Lekar, are there no other miracles in the temple? V'atani Rav Shmaya B'Kal Nebo. Rav Shmaya taught in Kal Nebo that when they would have earthenware plates, and they would put into the earthenware plate a piece of the karban chatas for the kohen to eat, or a piece of the karban shlamim for kohanim to eat, or other people to eat. So you have a problem. The juice from the meat goes into the walls of the plate. Now we know that juice of a karban, like the meat of a karban, becomes nosar. If you leave it for too long, it becomes nosar. Now the taste is going to become nosar. So what would they do? They would break the plates. So shivrei klei cheres, these broken earthenware plates that they would break after they ate the meat that was on it, nivla'im bimkoman, would be swallowed miraculously by the floor. There was a spot next to the mizbeach where they would put the ashes of the chumas hadeshen, and that spot would miraculously swallow the ash. It would also miraculously swallow the broken pieces of earthenware plates. Amar Abaya said another miracle. Morah v'notza, the innard and the flower. I'm sorry, the wings, right? The whole digestive tract of the chatas ha'of. The dishan is be'ach ha'pnimi, and the ash from the inner altar. The dishan ha'menorah, and the ashes from the lamps of the menorah. Nivlayim bimkoman. All of these things would be swallowed at that spot near the Mizbeach. So that's another miracle going on in the temple. So my answers, psula tlasahavi, right? There were three things that miraculously did not get disqualified. That is, Omer was never disqualified. The Shtei Alechem wasn't disqualified, and the Lechem HaPanim wasn't disqualified. Cheshvinu b'chad, so that's all counted as one. So apik trei, so now you took two out of the count. And now, v'ayil trei, so add in another two, namely the swallowing of the shivrei klecheres, and the swallowing of the marav and v'notza, the swallowing of the, and which, and part of that is also the swallowing of the dishan mizbeach ha'pnimi and the dishan ha'menorah. Yachi, if the Gemara says, if you're going to count all the disqualifications as one disqualification, luim nami trei havu. So all these different things that are swallowed as all should be one disqualification. Chashvinu b'chad, consider it one. Chasalu, so now you're less than 10. Answer the Gemara, ikonami achrita. There's also another miracle. Amrei b'shum and Levi. Rabbi Shimon Levi explained another miracle in Beis Hamikdash was Neis Gadol Hayanas of Lechem HaPanim, a tremendous miracle about the showbread that was divided up every Shabbos. Silu Ko, when they would take it off of the table, Kesidu Ro, it was just as hot as when they would arrange it on the table. Shanam, as the verse says, Lasum Lechem Chom B'yom Hilakho, to place a bread that is hot, like on the day when you took it. Ask the Gemara, Vesu Lech, are there only these 10 miracles? Are there no other miracles? V'amr Ablevi, didn't Ablevi say, this is the tradition that we have in our hands from our ancestors. Makom Aron Enem Enamida. The Holy Ark did not take up any space. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 amos. You could walk from the western wall of it towards the east, 10 amos, and you get up to the Ark. You walk from the Paroches to the Ark, you'd also take you 10 amos. So where did the ark take up space? The ark didn't take up any space. Another miracle. Kruvim b'nei sayomdim. The kruvim themselves, the bodies of the statues with the wings that Shlomo HaMelech made and he put into the Holy Temple, into the Kodesh HaKadosh, made him take up space. So answer the Gemara. Nisi debaroi kachashiv. It's counting the miracles that were outside, that were visible. Nisi the Gavai lo kachashiv, the miracles that were inside the Kodesh HaKadosh that people don't see weren't counted. Yachi, if that's the case, Lechem HaPanim, Nami Nisi the Gavai hu. The Lechem HaPanim was on the table. The table's in the Kodesh. The Kodesh is in the Heichal. Yisraelim can't go there. People aren't seeing that. That's also a miracle on the inside. Why is that counted? Answer the Gemara, Lechem HaPanim Nisi the Barai hu. The Lechem HaPanim is a miracle on the outside. Amri Shlakish is a Shlakish taught. What's the meaning of the verse? Al ha-shulchan ha-tohor, on the pure table. Tohor michal shu tameh, pure, does that mean that it could become tameh? Now starting kafal from a base, how could it even become tameh? We know, kli etzasu l'nachasu. This is a big wooden utensil made to stay in one place. V'chol kli etzasu l'nachas enem akabal tumam v'chol tzpethi ha-tumam. Any wooden utensil which is made to stay in one place does not become tameh, and even is a blockage, it stops tumah from transmitting, from spreading. So why does it say Hashulchan HaTahor? The answer is not that it could become tameh, it couldn't become tameh. That when the pilgrims would come up for the holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, the Kohanim would actually go into the Heichal, and they would lift up the Shulchan. They would lift up the Shulchan. So it actually is not a Kli Eitz Asui L'Nachas. It's not a wooden utensil made to stay in one place. It's a Kli Eitz Hamital Tel Malei V'Reikon. It's a utensil that is carried when it's filled with stuff, and even when it's empty with stuff. Because they would carry it, they'd pick it up. Now why would they show it to the Oli Regalim? They would tell them, Ruchi Basim Lefnei HaMakom. See how much Hashem loves you, that there is such a miracle. Shesiluko Kesiduro. That the same way, when you take it off, it's hot. It was that hot when you put it back, when you put it on initially. Shenam, as the verse says, Lasum, Lasum, Lechem Chom, V'yom Hilakho. So you see that since they would lift the Shulchan, that's why it is something which could become Tameh, because it is something which is carried. They would lift it up for the for everybody to see. So if that's the case, it's something which is already external because everybody sees it. It's not something which is hidden away. It's a miracle that's public. Everybody sees it because they would show it to everyone. Ask the Gemara of Asulek, are there no other miracles in the Beis HaMikdash? V'hamar Rabbi Shai, but didn't Rabbi Shai say, B'shah Shabana Shlomo Beis HaMikdash, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, not about Kalmini Megadim Shalzav, he planted in the Beis HaMikdash all types of fruit trees that are sweet and delicious, made out of gold. And these trees would produce their fruits at the right times. In other words, you plant an amazing thing, a miracle, a golden olive tree. And in the olive season, there would be golden olives. And when the wind would blow, no shrin, these fruits would fall. Shenam, as the verse says, Yirash Kalavanon Piryo, that the fruits of the Jews will stir like the fruits of Levanon. When the Gentiles entered the Beis HaMikdash, Yavesh, these golden trees dried up, Shenam, as it says, Uferach Levanon Umlal, that the flower of Levanon, the flower of the Beis HaMikdash called the Levanon, has dried up. Hashem's going to give us back these golden trees. The honor of Levanon was given to her. Since the Gemara, the miracles that were there constantly, that's not counted. But miracles that come from time to time are what's counted. So now that we have this answer, the reason why we didn't list in the Mishnah the ark not taking up space and the cherubs not taking up space is because that's something which is constant. Constant miracles weren't listed. Amar Mar, we said, that the smoke of the pyre, of the pile of burning wood on the Mizbeach, no wind could move it, even all the winds of the world. Was there even any smoke there? There were five things about this fire that was on the holy altar. Number one, Revutza Ka'ari. It was crouching in the shape of a lion. Two, Barakachama. It was as clear as the sun. Three, Yeshba Mamish. The flame actually took up space. You could touch it like a coal. It wasn't just the flame that was, you can't really touch. Ochelas lachem kiyavashim. It would eat things that were moist the same way things that are dry. It wouldn't be put out by liquid. Vein amala ashan. It wouldn't produce any smoke. The Gemara says, you're right, that's the smoke, that's the fire that Hashem sent down. When we said that there was a miracle that that the winds couldn't move the smoke from the fires of the Mizbeach, is b'dehedyo, that's referring to the fires of the Mizbeach that people would light. In addition to the fire from Hashem, individuals also had to light. The Tanya's learned in a brisa, but also from Aaron, according to Eshel Mizbeach, the children of Aaron will place a fire on the Mizbeach, afal pi she'eshi redes min hashamayim, even though the fire comes down from the heaven, mitzvah lahavim min hahedyo, there's also a mitzvah to bring fire from people who are, you know, not the Beit, not Hashem. All right, we mentioned Revutza Ka'ari, the fire was crouched like a lion. I vat ani Reb Chanina skana kohanim, but didn't Reb Chanina, the assistant to the Kohanim Gedolim, say, ani reisi, I saw the fire of the Mizbeach, Revutza Kelev, and it was crouching like a dog. Okash, it's not a contradiction. One is referring to the first Beis HaMikdash, it was like a lion. Hamikdash Sheni, one is referring to the second base of Mikdash, it was like a dog. Mikdash Sheni Miyavai, in the second base of Mikdash, was there even a fire? V'am Rav Shmuel Bar Unya, but didn't Rav Shmuel Bar Unya say, what does it mean in the Pasuk? V'eretz Abo, v'ikavda, and I would want it, and I would be honored. The Karina, we read it as V'ikavda, with a hey. Why is the word "and I will be honored" missing a hey? Elu chamisha dvarim shayu bein mikdash sheni. The lack of the hey is to hint that in mikdash sheni we're missing five things, because the gematria of the letter hey is five. These are five things we had in the first base of mikdash, we didn't have in the second base of mikdash. These were the five things. Elohim aron v'kaparas ukruvim. We didn't have in the second base of mikdash the holy ark, so we're missing the ark, we're missing the cover, we're missing the cherubs. Two, Eish, we didn't have the fire coming down from heaven. Three, Shechina, we didn't have the divine presence. Four, Ruach HaKodesh, we didn't have the divine inspiration. And five, Urim V'Tumim, we didn't have the little pieces of parchment inside the breastplate, causing the stones of the breastplate to light up with answers. I mean, they answered in the yeshiva, in Miyavahava. There was a fire in the second temple that came from heaven. And it was crouched like a dog. But nevertheless, what does it mean? We didn't have it. Yolo Messiah. It didn't help to consume things. It didn't help burn things. Tana Rabbanu Lintin Abraisa. Sheish Ishos Hain. There are six different types of fire. Yesh Ocheles Ve'eno Shosa. There's a fire that eats, but it doesn't drink. Yesh Shosa. There's a fire that drinks. Ve'eno Ocheles. But it doesn't eat. Yesh ocheles vishoso, there's a fire that eats and drinks. Yesh ocheles lachem kiveshim, there's a fire that consumes moist like dry. Yesh eish docha eish, there's a fire that pushes away a fire. Yesh eish ocheles eish, there's a fire that consumes fire. Yesh eish ocheles v'ino shoso, there's a fire that consumes but doesn't drink. Hadidan, that's our fire. It'll consume things, but if you put water there or a liquid, it puts it out. Then there's a fire that drinks but doesn't eat. The cholin, that's a high fever. A sick person with a high fever, he needs to drink, but he doesn't have any appetite to eat. So that's it'll drink, but it won't eat. Ocheles v'shosa, a fire that eats and drinks. Elio, that's a reference to the fire of Elio Anavi on Har Carmel. Elio Anavi wanted to prove that God is the true one, and that the prophets of Baal were engaged in massive fraud. So he had a big face-off, big competition on Har HaKarmel, where he slaughtered an animal, and he had them slaughter an animal, and they had a mizbeach, he had a mizbeach. And the Chassid, it says that when he davened, "Ves hamayim asher b'tzahala lichecha," there was such a strong fire that came down from heaven, it even licked up the water that was in the ditch around the Mizbeach. So you see that was a fire that would take up water too. Then, Ocheles Lachem Kiyaveshim, there's a fire that eats the moist like the dry, Demaracha. That's a reference to the fire on the Mizbeach. It would eat the limbs that were moist and the limbs that were dry. Yesh Eish Docha Eish, there's a fire that puts away fire. That's Gavriel. The angel Gavriel is the angel of fire. And when, as we saw earlier in Masechet Pesachim, when there was the big fire that Nebuchadnezzar made, and he said, everybody has to bow down to my idol in the valley of Dura. And Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah refused to bow to the idol, and they were thrown into this big furnace. Yurkamo, who's the angel in charge of the hail, said, I want to come down and cool down the fire. And God said, no, everybody knows that water is stronger than fire. But rather, let Gavriel, who's the angel of fire, go into the fire and cool the fire for Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And that's what happened. And finally, the sixth fire, the Yesh Eish Ocheles Eish. That is there's a fire that eats fire. That's the Shechina, Tamar Mar. As we've learned before, when Hashem wanted to create man, the angel said, Ma enosh kisis kirenu, why would you make a human being? He's going to forget you. Why would you remember him? And Hoshit etzbo b'neim v'sarfan. Hashem put his finger between them and he burnt them up. So you see, Hashem's Shechina, Hashem's fire, can consume angels who themselves are fire. Another question. Is it true that this smoke of the burning pyre on the altar that was burned by people, the Hegel tradition, is it true that even all the winds of the world can't move it from its place? But didn't Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi teach us on Motzai Yom Tov of Shmini Atzeres Hakol Tzofin La'ashana Ma'aracha, everyone would be looking at the smoke from the burning pyre. Nota Klape Tzafon, if it's turning towards the north because the southern wind is strong and it's pushing it to the north, Aniyim Smechim, and the poor people are happy. Uvali Batim, whereas the businessmen are Atzevin, are sad. Why? If there's a strong southern wind, that means there'll be a lot of rain. If there's a lot of rain, the fruits are overly ripe, or the wheat is overly ripe, and therefore it rots quickly. So if it rots quickly, they can't manipulate the supply in the market. They can't put it away into storage and make sure that there's limited supplies, that the prices go up, because it's all going to rot. So we'll have to sell it quickly. When you flood a market with a lot of supply, the prices drop. So the poor people who can't afford much, they're very happy. The price of food will going to be low. But not to clap a darum, but if the smoke is tilting towards the south, which means you have a northern wind, then the poor people are very sad. Ubali batim smechim, and the businessmen are happy. Because that means there's going to be very little rain. If there's little rain, the wheat is going to stay for a long time. If the wheat is going to stay, so then they don't feel any pressure to sell it quickly. They can just put it into storage. So they'll limit the supply. The price will be inflated. Not to clap a mizrach, if the smoke turns to the east because of the western wind, everybody's happy because it means that there's a balanced amount of rainfall. The fruits can go into storage, but not for too long. So prices will be stable. Klape Mario, but if the smoke is pushed towards the west, Hakol Atzevim, everybody's sad, because then you have the eastern wind. The eastern wind is very dry. Everything's going to dry up. There's going to be a famine. Everybody's sad. So the Gemara says, so you see that the smoke didn't move. Answer the Gemara, Da'azel v'asi kidikla v'abduri lo havin badar. It would move like a date tree, but it wouldn't really scatter. It wouldn't scatter. So when you have the wind that's impacting the smoke of a regular person, the wind can scatter the smoke. This wind wouldn't scatter the smoke coming from the fires of the Beit HaMikdash, but it could move them in certain, could move the smoke in different directions. Amar Mar, we learned before, Klape Mizrach, if the smoke is being moved to the east, Hakol Smechem, everybody is happy because that's steady. Klape Marav, when it's moved to the west, Hakol Atzevim, everybody's sad. Or Mini, I'll challenge you, we learned Mizrach is La'olam Yafeh, the eastern wind is always good. Marav is the western wind, La'olam Kasha, is always difficult. Ruach Tzvon is the northern wind. Yafel Lachitim Mishah Shevu Shlish. It's good for the wheat that grew a third. But Kasher Lezesim, and it's bad for the olives of Bezman Chein Cholmtin when they are beginning to bud. And Ruach Tzvon is the southern wind. Kasher Lachitim Mishah Shevu Shlish. It's bad for the wheat that's grown a third. But Yafel Lezesim Bezman Chein Cholmtin. It's good for the olives that just have begun to bud. V'am Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef said, V'tem Marzucha, something Marzucha V'simanach. A way to remember which wind is good, which wind is bad. Shulchan Batzafon, the table with the showbread, was in the north. Menorah Batzarim, the menorah was in the south. Hai Marbidi Day, we know that the north, therefore, has bread. Therefore, the northern wind helps the wheat, which is where you get to the bread. Hai Marbidi Day, the menorah, which is in the south, is what would use the olive oil. So the southern wind is what helps the olives. When I say lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Halan, one is for the people of Bavel. For the people of Bavel, eastern wind is good because Bavel has a lot of moisture because of the two rivers. And the western wind is difficult because it makes things rot. Halahu, and one is for the people of Eretz Yisrael. The eastern wind is no good because, as it is, it's a pretty dry land. Whereas the western wind is good because it does bring some rain. Hajan alach shivas yamim, hajra alach.